Welcome to episode 84 of VowFA Stuttgart Americana, an American-based English language VowFA Stuttgart fan podcast where reviews are unofficial, uninformed, usually unprepared. Like I said, this is episode 84. I am your host, Hazelfish. Actually, my name is Travis, but I can change it to Hazelfish. You can reach me on both. You can reach us on Twitter at VowFA Americana, online at our website, www.VowFA Stuttgart Americana. Joining me, like always, is Matt. You can reach him at CellRacer. We have a special guest this episode because we had a really lousy week, and we thought if anybody knows about losing, it's our old friend Jeff. You can reach him at Hennis Lover. Jeff, how's your Stuttgart fans be feeling right now?
First of all, Travis, thanks for having me here. I traveled 3,000 miles so I can get on episode number 84. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I've had a great week, actually. I'm really happy to be on the pod this week.
Way to read the room.
Yep. I can't wait to get into this. I got a lot of things I want to say.
It'll be another 40 episodes before you're back on, buddy. All right, let's get to part one, OFC shout-outs. Congratulations to Doug. He won his ninth Tippspiel prediction match. Steven's still in the lead, though. Jens has a 250-point lead with three matches to play in Fantasy Bundesliga, so Jens is running away with it. Valby Bango only got four. Capital City Club, Kemp, 6-pointer, and Freddie Bobic. The pod prediction champ, Matt, you have fallen apart. You still have the overall lead with 121 wins. I'm right behind with 119. Jeff's got 116. Even Austin's got 116. Matt, you started off on fire. What happened?
The Bundesliga scriptwriters have decided to throw out all previous information and just go completely bonkers. And that's thrown my ability to have any idea what's going on completely out the window.
And the Valby Frauen, no matches this week. So they at least did better than the Valby men. So shout out to the ladies. Jeff, this hurts for us. As we record this, our Morecambe Trib, of which we are lifetime members because we accidentally had too much to drink one night and ordered lifetime memberships instead of t-shirts, they were officially relegated after their 3-2 loss this morning. Jeff, thoughts on the Shrimps? Thoughts on the first time they've ever been relegated in over 120 years?
Yeah, I think they came down to, they were, I think we watched them play a total of 90 minutes over the last 3 years of being members. So I find it surprising that they took such a turn, but mm-hmm. Yeah, they had to win today. I think at least draw to have a mm-hmm. chance. They did score in plus 14,
which is pretty awesome
to get within one. But yeah, they're being relegated for the first time in I think the life of the franchise.
Their history, yeah, they've usually played at the lowest level.
Yeah, now they're going back to the lowest level.
Now they're going back, so you'll see them on the Wrexham next year. So you got that. OFC man of the match. Now, this is going to be a tough one. We're going to have to go to the judges on this. Three votes were for Seiru Girasi, but four votes were for nobody. And OFC member Dave G said for no effing one. Mm. But we're a family show, so we can't say that. So not sure if anybody's going to get man of the match for this game that we played at Berlin. An anti-shout-out for Ted. The number of people that are blaming Ted for not being in Germany or Stuttgart, and he is responsible for this loss. Matt, we usually don't do anti-shout-outs on this one, but do you have any shout-outs or negative shout-outs you want to throw out there?
I don't have any shout-outs because nothing good happened. But I am firmly on the this is Ted's fault bandwagon. I think he needs to go back and spend more time at VowFB games. Mm-hmm. And if he did that, we'd be more successful. So this is all your fault, Ted.
Ted, you have brought shame to our Bundesliga dojo. Jeff, what about you? Any shout-outs you want to throw out there? And hopefully it's not about your soccer club.
No, well, better than ours. Can I shout-out to Austin for his soccer club?
Freiburg?
No. Yeah.
Anti-shout-out or shout-out?
Oh, no, that's all I had then. Okay. Shout-out to Austin.
All right, let's go to part two. This is going to be rough. We actually tried to do a little show prep for this, but we realized there's no way to break this down without us actually breaking down. So we've got the Pokal match on Wednesday. Then we had Berlin. We were so excited going into this week, and it just was coal in our stocking on Christmas morning. So we played two clubs that were struggling, Matt. We had Frankfurt that only had one win in their last 13. Then we had Hertha, who only had one draw in their last five. both got wins against us. The both matches were actually a little bit different. At least in the first half of the Pokal match, we came out on fire. We started slow in the second, and then we made a valiant comeback that was just a bit short. The Herta match, we were on our heels the entire match. It was just rough. I was a little bit worried going into Herta, but I was thought we'd at least get a draw. Quick, instant react, Matt, to the week that was.
It was really disappointing. A lot of high hopes going into a stumbling Frankfurt team and then Herta team that's been in the cellar all year, and we laid two giant eggs. Just really, really disappointing week to be a Stuttgart fan.
Yeah, at least that first half, there was a little excitement there. Jeff, any quick instant react to the match? It seemed like you were trying to keep me calm after the Herta match by telling me it was going to be okay, but is it going to be okay?
Travis, I think, yes, it's going to be okay. I mean, we were talking about this quite a bit. I honestly felt like throughout that match that Herta, they didn't look good. They were pretty much gifted those two goals that they had. That second one came from nowhere. You know, you had a lot of possession that second half, but looked sluggish. I'm not sure if I always like to pull out the they were probably tired from the Pokal match on Wednesday, but you know, you have a pretty young team. I don't think that you should be considered tired. You should be able to be up and play for a game that's that important. I think you're going to be okay. I think that you commonly struggle against bad teams and play well against good teams. So I do think you're going to show up the next few weeks and get some points. So, but it was truly
that. The reason I'm laughing is because Jeff kept telling me it's going to be okay.
It's going to be okay, but I cannot make eye contact.
He hasn't been able to make eye contact whenever he said that for 24 hours basically now. So it's really, I appreciate the friendship, but it's really hard to believe that he's saying right now. Let's dive into it a little bit. The two talking points from the Pokal match were obviously VAR and then the injury to Dino here. So let's talk about that a little bit. And I kind of want to juxtapose this to the referee Daniel Schlager versus Dennis Ottekin, who did the Herta match. So let's talk VAR real quick. So after the match, Schlager says, for me, it was a case that the defender had orientation to his opponent. So say Ruggerossi. The ball was deflected again shortly before by the Stuttgart player. And then the defender undoubtedly gets the ball in his upper arm. But for me, it wasn't punishable because it was a normal movement of the defender. Due to the scope of the decision, I then decided with the video referee to go see it again. The pictures did not refute my perception. Kicker, though, said, well, Gerasi didn't touch the ball. So Schlager responded, well, the defender doesn't look at the ball at all, so Gerasi moves out of the way at the last moment. The criteria for a handball that has to be intentional, and that's definitely not here, so I agree with him there, and the unnatural increase in the body area. It's not even that for me because the player is in normal combat movement, which is kind of awesome, and is not standing static. The hands are not straight down to the body, but slightly on the side, and he pulls his arm away too. Matt, to that, I responded, what the F? He says it undoubtedly rolls up his arm, but because Seiru moves out of the way at the last minute, he's not prepared to pull his chicken arm in, that it's not a handball?
This sounds like somebody trying to talk their way out of a speeding ticket when they were doing 85 and a 30. Like, you got caught. The ref was wrong. He knows he's wrong. He's trying to convince himself and us that he wasn't wrong. And they're just own it, dude. Just say, yeah, we got this run wrong. My bad.
After the match, Honus said, listen, I've seen a lot of penalties. A lot of those become penalties over the years. Even Oliver Glasner, who's the bonkers coach of Frankfurt, said, you know, if you're behind, you see a penalty. If you're in the lead, you see a deflected ball. You know, Glasner finished with, he did a great job. You know, Glasner also said today after the disappointing match against Hoffenheim, thanks a lot, by the way, that he wants his players to play so hard they pee blood, to which a lot of people are like, that's not good. So you're bonkers. You're crazy. This is where, Jeff, I want to bring you in. We both mentioned during the Herta match that Dennis, the ref there, was in control. He had that match under control. There's only one quibble I had. I think he could have given a second yellow to Niederlacher for simulating a penalty kick, but that's a rough one to give, you know, for a guy. It seemed like the guy Saturday had things under control. It seemed like the guy Wednesday did not. He was handing out yellow cards like crazy at the beginning of the match. And even the announcer said he's giving himself no wiggle room later in the match. So what are your thoughts on the officiating Wednesday, Saturday? We talked a lot about this last week with Hannes and the two calls that we're talking about.
You know, we had talked about that before the Saturday match even started when they showed the refs. We both said, I like this ref. He's fair. The players respect him. He lets them play. He lets it be physical. He doesn't overthrow yellows. I knew with that guy it was going to be a pretty fairly refereed match, but I can't agree with Matt anymore. There's handballs definitely aren't black and white as it should be. There's a lot of gray. I've always struggled with the intent part of the rules that I apparently is a thing. I don't know if anybody ever has intent to have a handball in the box. I think intent is never there. What I understand was his arms seem to be in an unnatural position. And it also, you know, it's one thing if it hits off the shoulder, but it seemed to have rolled down his arm. Like it didn't just hit him in the shoulder in an unnatural position. It rolled. I think it hit him twice. It didn't look like it even hit anybody on Stuttgart. So I would be more inclined to say that the fair result would have been a handball. It's hard to argue against calling that a handball. It's easy to argue against calling it not a handball. So I don't know, again, times 50, this is what a handball is then. If it's not that, what is it?
Yeah, at least with the offsides rule, you know, okay, if your pinky is over the line, that's offsides. We may not agree with it, but there it is. But this handball thing is just getting kind of crazy. And the only reason I wanted to bring up, you may have heard me coughing in the background because we've been really critical of the referees the last couple episodes. We actually praised one and I started choking up. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to edit those coughs out because we just want people to know, you know, we are paying a little homage to one of the better referees in the Bundesliga. And it did hurt. It was a bit painful. And Matt, the other thing that hurt was in the 30th minute, Dino got kicked in the shin. He had to remove himself from that match. He wasn't eligible to play this week. And he's not going to play next week against Leverkusen. Huge blow for the team.
Dino is like our emotional support animal, I feel, on the field for both the fans and the team. He's just, he's got such an outsized influence emotionally on the team. When he gets riled up, the guys get riled up. I feel a little bit like he's Endo's voice. Mm. Like Endo sets the example for how to conduct yourself on the field. And Dino is the pure emotion of the team. So having him off is a big blow. Having him off also means that our option is Dan Axel Zagadou. He of the at least one catastrophic mistake every game. So that's not great.
If I'm the Hey Eintracht guys and I'm listening to this podcast, I'm like, stop whining about the penalty kick, because as soon as Dan Axel came in, he stomped on somebody's foot in the box and the ref didn't call it, didn't even VAR it. And the announcers are like, how did he miss that? So in the grand scheme of the universe, it was probably fair what happened, but two things were there. It's awesome that VAR missed what should have been a clear penalty against us, but it's awesome that Dan Axel came in and immediately had his mistake and then played okay the rest of the match.
Yeah, and one thing about the handball real quick that I want to bring up. There's this concept in hockey around tripping. So if your stick forces a guy off his skates through his feet, that's a penalty. If a guy steps on your stick and you're looking in the other direction and he falls, that's a penalty. You're responsible for your stick and what happens from it. I feel like likewise, this would simplify a lot of things if the rule was you're responsible for where your arms are. It doesn't matter what your intent is, where you're looking, what you had for breakfast. You're responsible for the position of your body. Deal with it. So that would help.
I think that's something my dad said before I went to college, is you're in charge. You're responsible for your stick, Travis. You want to figure that out. But hey, thanks, Dad, on that one. So we had a couple firsts in this match. It was the first time Hoeneß really didn't have the guys fired up after halftime. We haven't seen that yet. Bredlow looked human. That second goal that he gave up was a bit of a mistake on his part in the Pokal match. And Sosa lost his mind. So sadly, all this kind of continued into the Hertha match. So let's jump into that one now. It was super disappointing not to make it to the finals, but Leipzig destroyed Freiburg. And you're like, yeah, that's going to be a rough one for whoever plays Leipzig. So we go to Hertha. They were 18th on the table. They're still 18th on the table. They were 6 points behind. Now they're only 3 points behind. We slipped to 16th because nobody in the Bundesliga decided to help us this week. Let's talk about Borna Sosa for a minute. He had two mistakes in this match that led to two goals, in my opinion. The game was just boring. Jeff, you watched it with me on the porch there. Hertha was just defending all game long. So here are the talking points. Borna Sosa played really poorly. Honus's subs were a little bit off. We didn't see Koulibaly. Redlow made yet another mistake. And it seems like you mentioned we always play this way against teams like this. So take one of those, run with it. Give us some insight from an outsider what you saw.
The game, you win and lose with Sosa. I think when he plays well, he's a reason why you win. When he plays poorly, he could be equally be the reason why you lose.
He's the reason for the season.
He is, for as good as he is at the crosses and as key as he is on the set pieces, he's equally as terrible on defense. you have to play him. He's probably arguably your best player on the pitch. You can't sit him on the bench for that. But, you know, I think he was indirectly or directly on probably the first goal, at least, responsible for both of those goals being let in there.
Yeah, and it's funny because we were talking at halftime. I was like, I would have pulled Borna. And you were like, well, then what are you going to do on offense? And you're like, oh, yeah. So what we're stuck is his crosses weren't on point. Nobody's passes were on point, Matt. They just looked rough the entire match. And we didn't really get that usual Stuttgart bounce where the guys rally and there's this crazy finish at the end. We had some chances, but Hertha was defending with like 30 people, it looked like, at one point. They just had everybody back. So any of those talking points stick out to you?
The Sosa thing is interesting. I'm getting to the point where I'm thinking if we're having trouble with him, sit him. Like, is this a Ewing theory event where, yeah, maybe he's our best player, but are we better if he's not out there because we're over-reliant on him? Mm-hmm. Like, are the guys just giving Borna the ball and say, go make something happen, dude, and hoping? Like, we might be – look how well we played in that game that he missed because of yellow card accumulation.
Well, we usually play well with 10 guys for some reason. I don't know why.
Right.
But we're talking about maybe Borna should have been on the bench, but Thiago came out instead. There's no Koulibaly this match, Matt, which was kind of bizarre because he's played so well during this run under Honus.
Yeah, it was weird. He's been our late game energy shot, and not to see him. This is the first game that the subs, I was kind of scratching my head a little bit for Honus. I don't have a lot of criticism about him. I don't know what else to do, but in the moment I was just going, I don't know, man. It doesn't feel like this is the thing that's going to fix it.
Yeah, I couldn't tell if it was because Hertha was playing so compact that a guy like Koulibaly just wasn't going to do well in that kind of system. So we had to just cross. The thing that's concerning to me, besides Borna going through a bit of a funk, is Fabian Bredlow has been so solid. And we've been singing his praise for quite a while. And he's looked human the last two matches. And he made, you know, I get... Jeff, you were actually trying to defend him on that second goal that went in right before the half. Because I was telling you, I was like, man, if we can get into the half 1-1, I think we're lucky. And then we can kind of get things together going into the second half. And boom, there's a mess in the box. Jeff, it looked probably worse than it was because it went right between his legs there. I mean, if he's off, we're in a lot of trouble.
I like to blame things on goalies. That's kind of my niche on this podcast. But, you know, that's a tough one because I think, you know, he was probably, and there's another rule that's kind of weird for me too. If the goalie is shielded, is there a penalty on that? That's always something that kind of comes in too. Obviously, it wasn't a penalty, but that's hard to blame that on the goalie. I think he was kind of blinded by it. That goal came from absolutely nowhere. And what a gut punch, because I think you go into halftime and that game is tied up. You have all the momentum going on your side from you scoring that your first goal. And I think that's a whole different outcome. But when you go in down a goal based on two kind of mess ups, really, I mean, you gifted them two. I think they just lost everything. They looked zapped.
Yeah. They looked really tired. I think First off, if you're listening to this podcast, Matt and I just praised a referee and Jeff just praised a goalie. So it's I don't know what's happening, if it's a full moon or whatnot. Let's go into final thoughts in this match, because everything that could have gone wrong except for one match went wrong for us this weekend. Friday, Schalke won. Then Augsburg won. Hoffenheim crushed Frankfurt. At least, you know, Gladbach beat Bochum, so we're still in 16th. My final thought on this week is that the guys were tired. I know it's an excuse. I think there's a valid point, Jeff, you brought up. We're this super young team, so we shouldn't be that tired. But that was a quick turnaround. That was a long trip. It's a combination of the guys were zapped, losing Ada Carazor and Dino for that match was rough. And it's a team that we just don't play well again. There's going to be some questions here in a bit about why we should have hope. And we don't play well against teams that say we're going to defend with 10 people. We never have. And we're going to play at least one or two teams coming up that don't play that way. So I do have a little bit of hope with that. But Jeff, we'll wrap up with you before we get to Matt. Final thoughts on the week. I'm going to try to chalk this up to the guys were tired. It was a rough opponent rather than the sky is completely falling, even though it's probably raining pretty good, like Matt put on Twitter today. Jeff, final thoughts on the week.
Well, I think it's up to the players to not be tired on the game against Berlin. You can't afford to get tired and be zapped. That's a must-win game when you're up against Leverkusen next week. You got Mainz on the road to follow that. You've got to be able to find a way to not be exhausted against a team like Berlin. You have to get 3 points out of that game. I think another thing that hit me too, and we were talking about this quite a bit, which was why I think without eye contact, you're going to be okay.
He's not looking at me, people.
That Schalke result was also kind of a tough one. And we can talk about that call in the box. Was that a legitimate call that led to their penalty kick? I think it was plus 11. So you throw in all these things that happened. It was a pretty bad, very bad week, I think, for VfB. But again, with that result, you've got to find a way to say, listen, I might be tired, but I've got to put in the extra energy. We've got to beat Berlin. So I don't like that whole theory. You've got to kind of rise up in games like that. And they just didn't do it.
Yeah, Matt, I only went 2-6 in my predictions this week. The one I got right was VfB, because we don't play well there. And we certainly lived up to my expectations. So Matt, the week that was, what do you got?
I think the guys might be tired, if not physically, mentally, and emotionally. This has been a big up and down season, and the Honus bump was real, but there's been a lot of chaos within the team, and they are a young team. And so I could see them just kind of being over it right now a little bit. And so that's on Honus to get them dialed back in. We have a hard time with teams like Hertha because we lack the ability to break down defensive structures. We can't do it. We don't have guys who can move the ball well enough. So we've got to attack on the counter or utilize set piece chaos to our advantage. And we didn't get that at all against Hertha. So that hopefully against some of these teams that play a little more open we have coming up, we'll be able to utilize that skill set more and take advantage of it. But really, the number one thing is this team's got to start helping themselves. We've been reliant the last couple of weeks on other teams to do our dirty work for us, to beat the teams around us while we've been kind of just hanging in there. And if we keep doing that, things are not going to go well. We need to start winning games, collecting our own points, and stop hoping that fate will protect us from disaster.
Yeah, because some of that fate that we need is Cologne, Jeff's club, to actually beat Hertha next week. So you guys, Jeff, host Hertha. Can we count on you?
No, absolutely not. Come on. And I guess I question the defensive structure you couldn't break out. I'm looking here right now. Hertha has given up 62 goals this year. I don't know what kind of defensive structure you couldn't break down.
Ugh. See, I'm not saying it's good defense. They just have a lot of bodies there.
Yeah.
And we have guys like Chris Furich, who sees a ball coming to him, surveys the field real quick, decides what he's going to do, and then closes his eyes and acts out that fantasy, regardless of how reality has changed on the field. And we have too many players that do that, and we're not adaptable enough, and we don't have the creativity in our attack to be able to get around that many bodies. They don't have to be well organized. They don't have to be good. they're just there and in the way, and that messes us up.
So, Matt, I know the answer to this. Is Cologne going to beat Hertha next week?
I hope so.
Wrong answer.
Yeah, you've got one job, buddy. We need Bayern to beat Schalke, which should happen, but who the heck knows? Wolfsburg hosts Hoffenheim. That's going to create more chaos on the table. So it's a little bit of a rough time. We got three matches left to go. What do you think? Should we move into news headlines and questions, or should we just cancel the podcast right now?
Is it too early to start drinking?
Let's go to part four. All right, part four. There were no headlines this week. How about that?
Woohoo.
So we got nothing there. But we do have lots of questions and comments. So Brian Sanders from the Hey Eintracht Pod apologized, Matt, for not keeping TSG within touching distance. Yeah, you guys suck.
He doesn't mean it.
He doesn't. He's from Kansas City. You know what they say about people from, I don't know. I've never been to Kansas City. You guys been to Kansas City?
Never.
Never. But it's a confused place called Kansas City in Missouri. So I'm skeptical of it as an existing entity.
Shame on us for trying to trust you, Brian. We got some questions. I'm trying to break these down into negative questions versus positive. So let's get the negative out of the way before we cleanse ourselves with some positivity. And I got a big surprise as to who's the most positive at the end of this. And yes, Flabby, I'm talking about you. So the questions are, Ben Duncan says, pretty much seals it for us that it's either the automatic drop or playoff for us. Jeff's shaking his head no. This weekend was an absolute disaster. I'm shaking my head yes, from top to bottom for what we needed. Jeff, right now, where are we finishing on the table?
16th. Ooh. At the worst, 16th.
Wow. Matt, where are we finishing on the table?
16th is a strong thing. I think we might be able to get 15 out. I've got a little bit of hope that Honus can get the boys back in line.
Yeah, Ben, we agree it was an absolute disaster, but we still, like Matt said earlier, we control our own destiny, and if he can get the guys to bounce back, you know, next week could be a different animal. Flabby does ask, what would be a suitable punishment for this team from Klaus Vogt all the way down to every player involved? I vote they have to watch The Room for 24 hours straight. Is that a Norwegian show, The Room? And also be infected with, oh my, chlamydia. Well, Flabby, I don't know if that's the way to go. Jeff's a nurse. I suppose he could tell us about that. I think they should just have to watch the game over and over again is what I think the punishment should be. Jeff, do you is chlamydia the way to go?
I actually have to speak against chlamydia, so I'm going to steer away from that one.
Hot take.
Wait. Breaking news. Healthcare professional opposed to chlamydia.
This is headlines. This is like when Rust-Oleum reached out to us and were like, we don't recommend you use our product on humans. We're like, what? That's the closest we've gotten to a sponsor, by the way. All right. Let's see. David says, with our two worst performances since Honus took over, it seems Verrill's comments last week might have done more harm than good. Imagine that. Matt, do you think Verrill's words last Sunday about how lousy the club is and the players are, do you think it had any impact, yes or no?
Why would anybody think that the organizational leader coming out and saying that everybody in the organization is terrible would have a negative impact? I don't understand where this train of thought is coming from.
It's like when I had a tennis tournament years ago and I told my grandmother, I agree with Hannes on this. He says, you can't blame Verrill for this. This was a no-show, no matter what nonsense Verrill is saying, they need to play better. Yeah, I almost thought it was going to reverse psychology them and rally them because our boss thinks we stink. Let's show him, Matt.
I guess Honus could do that, but that's going to get into the psyche of these guys and into the whole sort of oeuvre of the club of everything's doom and gloom and danger. And if you got the guy at the very top saying, yeah, it's doom and gloom and danger because you guys suck, like there's no world in which that's helpful.
Yeah, I don't know. Sorry, Hannes. I guess we're losing this one. Neverland 2 says, we don't deserve the first league. Sorry, I'm empty. Boy, Jeff, can you imagine the first league without Stuttgart?
Yes, I can.
Jeez, why do we have you on?
I know. Well, we're going to be in the second league next year anyways, but no, you guys are going to be fine. Take a deep breath. You're going to be 15th. 16th at the worst. Look at the table. Look at the games coming up.
We have
Shaka's not going to get another point. Maybe one more point. You own the goal differential. Shaka's going to come back down. You're going to be just fine. You're going to be just fine.
She's not even making eye contact with you.
I can't do it. I can't do it. I don't know, Matt. This could be it. I'm with Honest on this one. You guys suck.
Matt, you agree with Neverland 2? Can you imagine us not in the Bundesliga?
Again?
Well,
again?
Yeah, I've followed this team long enough to have watched a couple second division campaigns, so I can imagine it. But I do, looking at the table and the schedule, it's realistic that we can pull this off. I don't know that we deserve it, but we might get to stay up for a year.
KG asks a really great question. Why Juan Pereira and not Tengai Koulibaly? He was on fire the last few games. I thought it was a great question. I don't know the answer to this. If Pereira is a little bit bigger, so maybe the idea was he could get in the box a little bit more and maybe do something. He did have one, I think, opportunity, but it was really weird to play a kid who hasn't played in a while. Jeff, you asked this. You're like, has he played in the last? I was like, no, this is his first minutes under Honus. I thought it was a really interesting time to put a really young guy who hasn't had any playing time into a match, Matt.
It did seem strange. I was excited to see him. I'm big on Perea. I think he's got a bright future. If he can put a couple things together. But yeah, it was really unusual, especially since Koulibaly has kind of been our late game talisman of late.
All right. Why do we always play up and down to our opposition? No name attached to this one. Jeff, why does Stuttgart always play up and down to their opposition?
Boy, that's a good question. I think we do the same thing as well, although we do it a little bit better than you do. I don't know. And that's why I think you have a really good chance of being okay, is you actually have some pretty decent teams coming up on your schedule. You're going to play much better next week against Bayern. You're going to show up against Mainz, and then you're going to shit the bed against, I'm sorry, crap the bed against Hoffenheim to end the season.
Yeah, it's a family show.
I'm sorry. I can't help myself.
Yeah. Matt, what are your thoughts? Because this has been a constant refrain with this team over the decade that you and I have basically followed on, is that they don't seem to be able to get up for big matches.
My only guess is that the guys love an underdog situation, and the idea that people don't believe in us and we've got to go out and prove it to them gets them going. I honestly have, this is the thing that perplexes me the most about this team, that we show up against a terrible Hertha Berlin team. And despite the fact that we can't break down clog boxes because we lack the talent, we should be able to hit a couple of opportunities and hold them out of our net and walk away with 3 points. I have no idea.
I think it's a case of kind of the ghost of VfB past. Like, we're a big club. We're a traditional club. We've won the German championship as recently as 2007, says every broadcast that I watch. And I think when we go up against a Bochum or a Schalke who's been struggling for a little bit, those are clubs who kind of know their identity a lot more than we do. We know our past, and we don't really know the present. And so we kind of try to play like we're a big club. And we're not. We're not right now. So I think some of it is institutional within the club that we're trying to play. It's like I'm sadly a Cleveland Browns fan. And so we always hold on to our history from the 1950s, because that's all that we have. And you're like, well, no, you're lousy. Do the small things right so that you can get better, instead of, you know, trying to, I don't know, latch onto Paul Brown, who's hasn't played in 50 years. Anyway, who knows? David asks, this is a good one. What is your spirit of choice to dull the pain? May as well go ahead and order extra for when Reno inevitably relegates us on match day 34. Now, I said we were going to end positively. And so David threw this out. Let's talk positive about, well, our alcoholism at this point. So, you know, Reno famously said that he watches a game with grappa or a fine whiskey or a fine red wine. Matt, match day 34, everything could be on the line. What is your victory drink of choice going to be if things go well, just like it did last year?
If I'm victory drinking, I like to have a nice whiskey or a scotch with just a splash of water in it. to lighten the flavor up a little bit, and I'll sip and enjoy. If we're stress drinking, I'm going to beer.
Colt 45 for everybody. Let's go. Jeff, what about you? You're on the outside of this. Your team is safe, but you're friends with Matt and I, and you know that
I am. I usually sip, win or lose, a nice bottle of wine, and I follow that bottle up with a delicious Voda Box.
Voda Box, the official wine of this podcast.
Revolution, dude. I think it is.
Revolution. Well, there's plenty of fine box wines out there, in case any of you are listening and need us to be a part of your program.
I think my problem is, don't forget, is my games in California are on at 6:30 in the morning. So if I start celebratory drinking by 8:30 in the morning, I'm going to lose my house and my family. And
so you'd basically be a Stuttgart supporter.
I would. Yes. Yes.
Fair enough. All right. For me, it's, I've been doing the red wine post-match, but that good luck ran out this match. So I might go with, try to find a really nice Dunkelbock, something that is going to hit me over the head really quickly so I can just stop remembering anything that just happened. Side of stuff that did happen, Steven asks, did you see the stats? It was unlucky again. So this is where we're going to start to swing into the positive questions. Yeah, stats-wise, it wasn't that bad of a match. The last couple matches haven't been that bad. We got unlucky. The eye test, Jeff, as you always say, doesn't really back up those stats.
Yeah.
But we had opportunities. We just played a team that unfortunately had our number that day. So what do you think? Unlucky?
I can say this week after week after week. I always feel like, and this is the truth, that probably 8 times out of 10, you have the most talented team on the pitch. But after a while, this is like 2 seasons straight now. After a while, you're like, guys, is this unlucky? Are we just bad? But you have a lot of talent on the pitch, much more than I would say about my own team. Mm. Even last year, we had like 43 points. But if I were to pick, you know, the 9 starters, I think 7 would come from your squad. So it's a lot of bad luck, but they, like you said, you've got to start doing the small things better.
Well, I think that's the problem, is that you guys can play with 9 guys. We need 11.
Oh, 11, yeah. I don't, I was filling the baseball team, apparently.
Matt, are we unlucky or are we bad?
I think a little bit of both. There's a lot of you make your own luck. You know, we've put ourselves in positions to be punished by bad referee choices, which is not great. But there's a lot of bad luck. That second goal against Hertha was a garbage flinko goal that bounced around and nobody got cleanly. And then it happened to squeak between Bredlow's legs. Like, there's not much anybody can do about that.
Yeah.
The gods kicked us in the nuts, and that's just kind of what it is. But we have to be better in order to take advantage of luck situations. We're not doing that right now.
That's what I think I was kind of alluding to before, where some of these other clubs know how to play this style. It became very clear very early that Hertha was just going to boot the ball as far down the pitch as they could and try to create chaos, whether it was a free kick, a penalty, hold up the play. And that's not the way we like to play, right? But the way that they played was causing us problems all day long. Our back line could not handle that at all. So I think we're just bad. I agree. We have some of the most talented players. And when this team gets relegated, or if we get from stay in the league, a lot of these guys are going to be gone. And we're going to be pretty happy with the amount of money the club makes, because I think they're desirable players. But there's just something where every game, Danny Axel, like we talked about one episode, is the perfect epitome for this team. Really good player, ton of potential, makes a mistake that causes damage every single game. That's basically the club. But let's keep the positivity going, because we're struggling here. Kai asks another question. Honus has seen the other side of the team now. So the old Valve B is back. Hopefully he can turn things around. I'll take this one first, Matt. I think he can't. I know you could say, well, it's just the bump, but he's put these guys in a position to play their best type of football. This is the first real hurdle they've had, and the first hurdle Honus has had. He's dealing with some injuries. Now he's dealing with some mentality issues. I want to think he can bounce back from this and he can get the guys ready for Leverkusen in front of the home fans, man.
I think the way the team responded to Honus taking over shows me that he's got a chance to turn this around. We had a mentality switch. The guys came out and started playing more freely, playing more vigorously after Bruno was gone. So I feel like they're ready to buy into him and see what he can do for them. So I think he can turn around, and I'm going to maintain that small ray of sunshine until it is taken from my cold, dead hands.
I'm gonna get some ray of sunshine into this question. It sounds negative, but I'm going to turn it positive. This was a crap result, but one we should be used to by now. Hey, you know, there's something said for consistency. So, right, Jeff, is that positive?
No, this is... You're going to bounce back, but I'm wondering, though, what is a bounce back result against one of the better teams in the league next week? Like, what kind of result do you think would be considered okay? I mean, you can't have a moral victory on week 32. You have to have a victory on week 32. So if you win ugly, it's 3 points. If you lose pretty, is that a positive bounce back?
I think this gets into the question, Matt. I'm going to kind of cut you off real quick, but Flabby Viking, of all people, is going to end this segment with a positive comment. So everybody hear this out. He asks us, well, first, if we should punish everybody who was involved. And then David, who's usually very positive, responded with burn it all down. So David's a little negative, but Flabby ends with this. All right, Ray of Sunshine. After last year's match day 31, Valpe got two draws and then won that final game at home. That would get us 33 points this year, and we'd probably be safe. Matt, let me start with you. Any confidence in that type of finish this year?
Yeah, I think we can. We've got Leverkusen at home, which I think we could realistically pull a draw out of. We're away at Mainz, which we probably won't get anything from. And then Hoffenheim at home to end the season. I think we can get 3 points out of there somewhere. Mm-hmm.
Jeff?
I think 3 points is all you're going to need, to be honest with you. And I think I think realistically you're going to get 4 points. I think all you need is 3 points.
I'm super confident that it could happen. I mean, it's really tough after what we just saw on Saturday to be confident, but this team is a roller coaster. As soon as they go down that coaster, a lot of times they come back up that coaster. I think Leverkusen is a team that is a little bit more suited to the way we want to play. Leverkusen has nothing to play for. As we go into the match next week, depending on how the rest of the matches go in front of them, they could be mathematically eliminated from Europa League consideration. And the best they could hope for would be Europa Conference League. So they don't have a ton to play for. So we would have more motivation. We would be at home. We'd be playing a team that likes to spread it out and not play bunker ball. So I'm on team Flabby here. I don't want to punish anybody. I certainly don't want to give anybody chlamydia. We just had a professional tell us that's not the right thing to do. I was not sure, so it's good to know. But I am confident that we can get a result over the next week and maybe over the next, you know, the next three. So look at Matt, Flabby Viking, bringing the rays of sunshine. Matt, are you feeling positive now, or are you
Well, I'm definitely team Flabby, but I'm back at the gym and I'm working on that. trying to get off this bandwagon. But he makes a good point, you know, and it's interesting to see one of our biggest doomsayers coming up with some positivity, and it's hard to argue against it.
Yeah, meanwhile, Dave is holding the matches and the pitchforks, getting ready to burn it all down. So, Flabby, your influence is significant everywhere. So, yeah, it was a rough week for sure, but I think we still control our destiny. So, I mean, at least we've got that going for us. You know, Hertha is playing, you know, has that nice win, but they don't control their destiny compared to us. So I think we got to wrap our minds around that. But we do have a huge match coming up at home. You guys ready to move on to part four, the final part, predictions?
Ooh, yes.
Let's go.
Let's do it. All right, part four, we are hosting Leverkusen Sunday at 9:30. So by Sunday at 9:30, Leverkusen will know if their Champions League or Europa League chances are eliminated. They would have to win out, and everybody else in front of them would have to lose out for this to happen. So it's pretty much already a given. They're not going to make it. We lost 2-0 to them in November. Here's a fun fact. In the last 20 matches, we have one win against Leverkusen. So that's some good news. They're coming off their first loss since February 19th against the Billy Goats of all teams. So stop your fist pumping over there. They're six on the table right now. We are 16th on the table right now. Jeff, let's start with you because you just watched your team get a win that mathematically made you guys safe.
Yeah.
Thoughts on who we're facing and then how you think we'll do?
Well, obviously, Leverkusen's not that good.
simply because they lost you
don't,
guys.
I don't see how you can't beat Leverkusen. I mean, we beat them pretty handily. Matt, you were able to watch that game. I'm actually not a big believer in nothing to play for. I think the only team, they're professional athletes. They're going to want to play hard. They're going to want to win. You know, they're playing for coaches are playing for their jobs. The only team that has nothing to play for, I think, is probably Frankfurt. They're going to save everything for the Pokal. What's the spread on that game? I'm going to take Bauer B no matter what. I think they're going to show up at home. I think they're going to have a lot of energy. I think that the Leverkusen plays to their style that they want to play, that Valpi wants to play. So I'm going to take them at home with the action. Whatever the spread is, I think they're going to beat them anyway. Okay. 3-2.
3-2. Nice. All right. I usually save this for Matt because Matt has no idea how to do this stuff. And it could be one of the reasons that explains why he's done so badly in the second half with his predictions. But Matt, what do you think the spread on this one is? Who's the favorite? And what are your thoughts going into what is going to be a huge match on Sunday? Because like Leverkusen, we'll know how everybody around us did going into our game.
Leverkusen's 10 slots above us on the table, but the game's at home. They usually give the home team half a goal. I'm going to say Leverkusen by a half a goal.
Close. It's a pick'em right now. As we record this on Sunday, it is a pick'em.
This is adding credence to the theory that the odds makers are trying to separate Stuttgart fans from their money.
We are so over. That's right. As doomy and gloomy as we are right now, come Saturday, we'll be like, all right, let's go.
Yeah, 100%.
So you agree with Jeff on this one, or sounds like based on what you've said so far, you're feeling okay going into this?
I think 3-2 could be really realistic. It's Leverkusen, as you guys were saying, they don't have a whole lot to play for right now. And I could see them showing up and just being like, all right, we're going to go through the motions and see what happens, which means we'll still give up one or two stupid goals. but we could totally bang three in, and especially in front of the Cannstatter Curva, those guys will be rocking because they always are, and they'll have extra motivation this go round. So this is a team that takes a lot of energy from their supporters. I can totally see this being a 3-2 or even a 4-2 victory for our guys.
I'm going to take the draw in this one. I think we're going to get a result. So it's a pick'em. So I'm going to go the kind of the coward's way out and say it's going to be like a 1-1, 2-2 draw. But I think, like Jeff's saying, this is going to be the ladder that's going to get us some points to help us claw our way to safety. But it sounds stupid when you're playing a team, like you said, that's 10 slots above you. But I'm way more optimistic going into this match than I was going into the Hertha match. But I think Bayern's going to let us play. And that's where a guy like Silas and Koulibaly and Seru are going to get a little bit more space to do what they want to do. Hertha wasn't giving us any space at all when it got to that final third. And you can see we struggled with it. So hopefully Bayer Leverkusen didn't watch the match we played against Hertha and they just kind of show up, go through the motions. But I'll take the draw, which, you know, a point might be enough to get us to be surviving. So, guys, any final thoughts, last statements? Matt, we'll start with you before we wrap up. What's been a pretty quick episode.
It was a really frustrating week. The Pokal match, we lost to a Frankfurt team that's ultimately good. They're very talented, very well-coached squad, but they had been stumbling, and you hope to take advantage of that, and we just didn't get it. We were a bit unlucky by the no handball call, but we also put ourselves in a position to be punished by bad luck. So sucks to be us. The Hertha game, man, really, really just that sucked all around. Just hard to watch. Ugly, messy, sloppy football. Really hoping the team has a good sit down and a good conversation about how to be better going forward, that Honus has some way to get their mentality straightened around, get their heads on straight, and that we can come out and punch Leverkusen in the mouth, because we desperately need that.
I think going back to the question that was asked in the previous segment about, you know, this is a crap result, but we should be used to this by now. And going back to Flabby's point, is like, we've been here. This is almost Groundhog Day. Match day 31, we traveled to Hertha. Match day 31, we had a super disappointing 2-0 loss. So this time we only lost 2-1. So I guess that's improvement. And then the guys came back and rallied, and they had that famous draw against Bayern. And then we all know what happened in match day 34. So we have been here before. A lot of the guys on the club have been here before. And so hopefully they can use that experience to know what they need to do going forward in the next three matches. So as disappointing as this week was, partly because we had so much hope going into this week, this just could have been an amazing week for the club. There's still hope. There's still a chance. And Jeff, final thoughts before we close this one up.
Well, I think that the outcome this week truly defines what it means to be a Stuttgart fan. And so I think, Matt, you'd mentioned it. I think 32 is probably the magic number you have to get at to be safe. I'd say 15. Now, had you have won that game, as you probably should have, you'd be at 31, right? What's to play for? You have to get one result in the next three. So I think that going in, looking back now, it's obvious you're going to lose that game. So I just think it adds a suspense to the team. It's going to come down to the absolute, you know, last match day of the season against, you know, Hoffenheim, which is kind of a big deal. You bring your old coach back, mm-hmm. you know, and it's going to be a fun finish, but without eye contact, everything is going to be okay, you guys. It's going to be okay.
I feel a little bit like you're very politely telling us we're a bunch of sadistic sickos.
Well, you know,
and you're like not wrong.
No. I was watching the game last week right here in this house on the porch, match day 34 to win, to stay in. Mm. And I think that's what it's going to come down to. Again, if you win this weekend, it's too easy. That's not how it's supposed to be, Matt. You know that. What's fun about this podcast? If you guys are too good.
We need the pain to feel alive.
You need the pain to feel alive.
Nobody's ever said podcast and good and us in the same sentence. So I think we're okay there. Well, this has been quite the episode. We had Jeff back on. We were able to kind of moan about the two matches. We added a little bit of positivity. And the biggest thing I learned about this is that, you know, chlamydia, that's not a good thing.
I would take chlamydia over a house fire, though. Can we keep that? And don't burn the house down. So, you can fix chlamydia, but it's too expensive to build a new house.
David, that's for you. So everybody, keep that home insurance going, because we still have a couple weeks. Wait until match day 34. All right, guys, thanks so much for joining us this episode. Hopefully next week we'll talk to about a win, which would be, you know, very much welcome here. So guys, have a great one. Thanks again. We'll talk to you next time.
Thanks for having me.
Travis.